We got on board the telephone line and welcome in our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hello, fellas. Glad to hear that you're, you know, your heart knows. Even if the weather gets colder, you put the winter coats away. Don't do it. It's the spring. Tough it out.
Let's go. Not going back. Look, you can wear a windbreaker if you want something to protect yourself, but no winter clothes. I barely wear those in the winter.
I know. Well, that's why I got one of those all seasons kind of jackets.
There you go. That's it.
It gets a little chillier. It's nice. Gets a little warmer. Still not too hot. You know, it's just the perfect amount. You know? So you bring that out of the closet.
I got sneakers on 11 and a half months of the year. So I don't play. I don't play these winter games, Nick.
Right back. I'm with you, Rich. Same thing. I got my Nikes, and they get me through the year.
Well, man, so much to talk about. What a time we are experiencing here in the Boston sports scene. Let's begin with the Celtics last night, leaving no doubt. We know what the Celtics do sometimes, as we saw in Game 1. They take a little break, but none of that last night. It was 2-0. Let's wrap up this series quickly.
I said on the air last night down here what the kids say, which is the Celtics flexed on them. That's just basically because they're just really, really good, and the Hawks are not as good. And so even though it took them about, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes to really get into the game, once the Celtics did that, it was a dominant performance. And the scary thing is, I don't think they've really reached their peak. They have not played their best basketball consistently through the two games. So that just tells you how good the Celtics are. And I think we have similar series with the Celtics and the Bruins, and the fact that these teams are just so good. Will we see their best basketball until maybe the next series? Because we're expecting them to get there. I'm not sure. But you see flashes of it, which is a good thing.
A real good sign, I thought, last night was how well they played when Jason Tatum was on the bench, because that's not always the case.
It's true. I've been beating the drum all year on just how good I think Derek White has become for this team. He's tremendous. He's filling up the stat sheet. He's doing a lot of the little things. And he's just confident in the way that he's shooting, everything that he's doing defensively. That's the thing that's impressed me the most, is that I think the defense dial is starting to get turned up again. And it looks like that kind of defense that the Celtics team was playing in the postseason last year. And I was wondering, do they sort of flip the switch? And I think defensively, I think they have flipped the switch here.
Was the one game suspension enough? Was it too much for Draymond Green?
If he didn't have a history of these sorts of acts of Draymond, then I would say, I fine him a lot, keep him on the floor, whatever. But, one game suspension, sure. I mean, Bonus yanked at his ankle, sure. But again, Draymond Green is, he has those acts, and this is what he does. So if it costs them a game, but it gets them back in the series, then, maybe it's worth it. But we'll see. They're down 2-0, and this is a pretty good Kings team.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Well, the Bruins back at it tonight. They look pretty solid overall. In Game 1, it wasn't their best performance by any stretch, but, boy, as long as Allmark is playing the way he is back there, they don't need a whole lot more.
Tremendous. And their depth in their forward group is tremendous, too. I was sitting there the other night just thinking, how many years did we talk about David Krejci just needed that, other winger, or that guy on that, that talented guy that would just take that second line over the top? And then the other night, they don't have Patrice Bergeron, but they are able to put Pavel Zacha up on that top line center there. And then Krejci's on the ice with David Pastrnak on one side and Tyler Bertuzzi, who was tremendous, on the other. And I'm thinking, man, this group is deep. And Taylor Hall, a former MVP, is on the third line. I mean, it's what they can put out there offensively, I think, is really, really impressive. And then, yeah, when they're going through stretches where the Panthers are literally trying to throw everything at them, to have a guy like Ullmark who's just, super confident, it's tremendous. It's a great asset. And, if he hits a spurt where he's not playing so well, they have another guy, as you guys know very, very well up there, that is really, really good, in Jeremy Swayman. So they're just deep across the board. And that's why people keep asking, who has a better chance to win the championship, the Celtics or the Bruins? It's tough because anything can happen in hockey, but I lean the Bruins because they're just so deep and there's experience there too.
Yeah, you mentioned the goalie situation, barring Ullmark going into some kind of a slump. Do you think they start Swayman in any of these games?
I wonder. You know, it's a tough call because you want to get a guy going consistently, whatever. But I don't know. Say you go up 3-0 in the series. Do you start Swayman, put him out there for game four? You don't want to mess with the mojo, that sort of thing. But at the same time, you get him some reps, get him on the ice. I tend to think there's going to be a series here where, you know, they get a quick turnaround. They have to travel, and it's like 36 hours or something like that. That might be the spot to put Swayman in. But it's a tricky call. It really is. But I don't think you can go wrong if you put Swayman in there at some point because, again, I think you have goalie 1 and goalie 1A on this roster, and it's a good problem to have.
You know, I wondered, looking around, I thought Toronto might be a team to watch out for, but then they remembered they were Toronto, and look what happened to them last night.
Weren't they complaining about a call by the refs or something like that, and they lose, what, 7-3?
Yeah.
Like, you want to wonder why Toronto bows out early every year? That's why, because you're worried about that, and you're giving up 7 goals. Referees in hockey ain't giving up 7 goals, guys. Newsflash. So, that's terrible.
The Red Sox game last night was crazy, wildly entertaining, even though it was old school, 3-hour-long Major League Baseball. But it was a crazy game. An old Chris Sale looking like he did 5 years ago out there, and then things you don't often see down the stretch, including in extra innings on that walk-off, that delayed walk-off celebration by Alex Verdugo.
I just love that, like, Verdugo was confused. Poor Dave O'Brien was like, "And it's a foul ball. Wait a second. It's rare." Everybody is like, "What is going on?" But clearly it hit the wall and it was a fair ball. And hey, look, if you can celebrate a win, you celebrate a win, even if it's delayed. It was wild. Credit to the Sox because they came back, you know, they tied it. They kind of grinded, you know, back into it. They go down 2 runs in the 10th and they respond there too. So, you know, hey, look, if they can string together, if Chris Sale can pitch like that on a, you know, fairly consistent basis, then things are going to look a lot better for them. So that's a great thing. Hey, maybe signs of life from the people at Fenway. That's a great thing.
Are you worried at all about Yoshida, or is this just the adjustment to Major League Baseball?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both. You know, could be injury, could be, you know, adjustment, either way, but I think the Red Sox, they just got so many more, like, bigger questions that it's funny you say worry about it. I'm not hyper-focused on it because I'm more focused on, like, who's going to hit consistently in the lineup besides Rafael Devers. So I don't know. It's just I'm spreading out my questions and my concerns around the roster. There's a lot of them with this team.
Plenty of questions to go around. Absolutely. Well, Nick, it's great to talk with you. As always, appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Enjoy the Bruins game tonight. Are you back at the Garden tonight?
I am not. My partner's up there, Ian Steele. We're switching off duties here. So I am confined to the studio here on 10 Ormsby Street in Providence, but be watching from afar. It's been fun being up there around it this week because, I mean, you know, what can beat, you know, the Bull Gang, you know, switching the ice from the court to the ice to the court every night? That just means you got really, really good teams and they're competing at a high level. So, you know, looking forward to some more trips up there soon for sure.
Great time to do what you do, Nick. Enjoy it, and we'll catch you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. Nick Coit, ABC6 Providence, the Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year again this year. Talking, all that's going on there. Celtics, Bruins, Sox. It's a heady time to be a New England sports fan these days.